Spare Ideas is a podcast about ideas. All ideas contained within this podcast are the property of Spare Ideas Corporation and its subsidiaries. On hearing this disclaimer, you agree to not steal, imitate, interpret, initiate, imbibe, or otherwise profit from said ideas, even though none of this is legally binding. In fact, please steal these ideas. They're going spare. Hello and welcome to Spare Ideas, a podcast about inventing inventions. My name's Ben.
I'm Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, Ben.
Huh?
Well, you didn't say it, so I thought I'd say it myself.
I see. I didn't get what you were doing.
That's okay. I need to reiterate the names as many times as possible. I realise people often start out listening to an episode of a podcast they've not heard before, and everyone says their names, and you're like, sure. But then they don't go in. It took me like months to get the names of the McElroy brothers, and they're like, you know, the McElroy brothers.
It doesn't help that all of their names are McElroy, does it?
Granted. And they have the same voice. At least we are two different genders.
Yes.
That's the classic dynamic for a duo.
We're making it easy.
Distinct.
Thank goodness Rowan isn't here.
Well, this is it, of course. That's why we have invited Rowan, because we're cutting him out of the equation now.
Yeah.
He sounds too much like me, because he's a man.
Gotta go.
He's English, he's a man, he's Caucasian, he's in his... Actually, I'm in my 30s now, so, you know, we got that separating us, but roughly we are the same demographic.
Yep.
This is a strange way to start a show.
It is. It was unexpected.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm quite tired. I'm just going to be upfront about that. But what I will say is, what is this show about, Sarah?
Well, it's a podcast about inventing inventions. I mean...
Do you want to go into any more detail, or should we just leave it there?
What is this show about? Why am I here?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. This is a show where we invite a specially selected guest, specially, carefully, both of those, specially carefully
special
selected
and careful
guest.
And both of them.
Yes, to come along and share their inventions with us.
Yeah, and in fact, you may have just heard the specially selected, special, careful guest right just there, because that is our special, careful and carefully selected. Yeah, all three of those. Guest. Tess, hello Tess.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're quite well, thank you for asking. That's very polite. People don't usually ask us, actually. We ask them.
That's true.
They never really ask us.
We're
learning a lot on this show, aren't we? We're learning a lot. I think it's a groundbreaking show for us this week.
Barely started.
But anyway, yes. We normally do on this show is we like to ask people about their background. As inventors and as people. So I guess we'll start with the people person part.
Okay.
What is it you do when you're not inventing?
When I'm not inventing, I am engaging young minds to become inventors of the future.
Oh, I see. That is relevant then, yes.
That sounds important.
Yeah, it is.
Sounds like you're well equipped for this job.
So, I am. You know, every day I'm like, pachow, what do you got for me today, kids? And they go, I've got a castle and I painted it rainbow coloured because that's how castles should look.
Isn't it quite important for the teacher to sort of bring the stuff to the kids? Or is it okay for you to sort of just take it like, no, come on, kids, what have you got for me?
It depends on what the activity is.
Okay.
Like, for example, the other day, we were building castles. And in my mind, I very much wanted them to build a realistic looking castle because I'm going to then throw at them, well, you think that sort of castle looks like, but actually Totnes Castle looks a bit different because it's round and, ooh, it doesn't have the kind of towery bits that you have
blow
made
their
in
tiny
yours.
Minds.
Blow so this is my plan of like, give them the freedom to make the mistakes that I can then go back and we can correct together or learn.
Make them
extend
look like,
our understanding.
Make them look like little fools.
I know, you
that's
idiots.
That's the trick.
But they threw it on its head and they made me look like the fool because I gave them all the freedom in the world and of course they painted rainbow coloured castles. So now it's like, oh, well, okay, that's a castle from your mind.
Yeah.
this is not a comparison to a real life castle that we're going to be studying.
Do you feel like sometimes you want to go back to school?
Yeah.
Like maybe that school's better than life?
Although I don't ever remember doing that in school.
That's only because you were like, yeah, it's just another Wednesday, I don't care.
Yeah, maybe.
At the time you just took it for granted
or
you had asked about
got
the
better,
castle.
Or, you know...
We don't have a lot of time for stuff like that, but when we do, we make the most of it.
So, as an inventor,
what's
your history? Have you, do you have invented for long?
No, and I've not done it very professionally. In fact, so when you first contacted through the invite out there for anyone who had any spare ideas, I just started thinking of my more random ideas, things that I just incorporate into my everyday life that I sort of take for granted as this is just like what this is.
So these are actually potential inaction.
Inventions. These are things that I have just, like I said, incorporated into. So they've become part of my understanding of like how these things work. But then it's only when I talk about them to other people that I realise that, that other people don't see it like that.
Yeah, I grew up with certain words.
this is completely made up. Yeah, I
still have vocabulary which is made up words.
Oh, yeah, see, vocabulary is one of them. It's not one of the ones that I was intending on talking about today. Mm. But, like, for example, like pluralising things that would normally have a special... their own special type of plural, and just actually just cut the crap, just put a S on the end of everything, make it like fish should be fishes, and that's it. There shouldn't be any complication there. Yeah, there's many, many more examples. But I had to stop myself when I'm at school, because then I start saying these things to the children. I go, oh, that's not grammatically correct. Oh, God. That's just how I say it in my
head.
But
if you're making the children think different, then, you know, they're going to think different, and then they're going to be different, and then the world can be...
differently.
That's good teaching right there.
That's what
top
I do.
Quality teaching. Well, I mean, I think that qualifies as inventing. So I think in some ways, I mean, this is the nice thing, as we've seen on the show a few times now, people have reinvented the concept of inventing on this show.
Yeah.
Potentially, such as saying, what if IKEA had a vegetarian option? It's not really inventing in the traditional sense.
I think they do, don't they?
Yes.
Well, that's part of the reason why. Yeah.
They invented it already.
Cool. Well, it wasn't even, it was more just a suggestion and an unneeded one. But yeah, it still qualifies on this show. So really the boundaries are limitless, as we'll probably find out fairly soon.
Sure. I think my description of my ideas to you when I replied was, I will polish up my thought turds. Mm. And that is what I'm presenting to you today.
I think polished thought turds is all we can really hope for here.
Great.
Cool. We're not for any kind of financial incentive. I mean, we're not promising any sort of market.
I've got wine. That's good.
Exactly.
That's all you need to get me here.
we're like a young art graduate, just kind of pleading for people to come to their event using wine as a lubricant. There's a phrase, using wine as a lubricant.
Mm.
And on that note, let's go to the first idea.
Do you want to tell us about your first idea, Tess?
Okay. So all my ideas that I've brought today have kind of like a theme.
Okay.
And what I've gone for is like a sporting gaming theme.
Okay.
I am not in any way a sporting or really a gaming person, like certainly not computer games, but I'm even thinking like board games. I'm just very not in any way competitive. So I would like totally resign myself to... I'll join in quite happily, I'll enjoy it, but if it comes to like getting to the bit where you actually try and win some points, I would actually do the wrong thing just to not bother winning points. I mean, I bombshell big time every single time I play a game. So
I think Sarah has a similar...
Yeah.
Similar. I don't go that far. I don't go to the avoiding getting points, like, so they don't get into it.
What would you say? Like a sabotage? Like I sabotage my own performance.
That's taking it to a new level.
But part of it is about, in my mind, this is the thing where I go back to what's going on in my head versus what's going on in the room. If I can get the worst possible score, in my mind, I've won. So rather than just like hitting the middle and getting, you know, like a bit of a rubbish, like coming in third or something, I want to come not just last, but like the most pathetic last that anyone could ever manage.
In some ways, in that regard, you're sort of competitive, just a different kind of competitive, I guess.
Or just really lazy. Just like, how can I engage with this at the very bare minimum?
It's a fair point, actually. I guess that way you're at least emotionally engaging with the concept of competition, but in a way that requires you to make no effort.
Yeah, exactly.
In many ways, that is a genius invention in and of itself. So if anyone needs that at home, if anyone's a non-competitive person, we just found a solution.
Yeah. So that's my pre-bump. That's my introduction to my ideas. So the first one that... the first, like... idea sort of came from my partner has started getting into, he's not like a football guy at all, but he started getting into like looking at matching bets on betting websites and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about football quite a lot. He's not into football at all.
So he's talking about it purely from a betting perspective.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, so it's like something like if the bets have similar odds, then you can place a bet for that same team to win or lose, and either way you're going to end up making some money. That's the kind of concept.
I've heard that.
Anyway, so but I don't really understand the match betting, and I don't understand the football side of things. So it started off by me doing, he'd be like, oh, who do you think is going to win today? And I'd be like, oh, well, so I think like Arsenal, they was right at the top of the hill, and then they'd done a bad one, and then they'd done a good one, and after a hat trick, they were well away.
That's a really good impression.
My commentating side, I'm getting quite good at this. So I started getting into like shit football, basically. Mm. So from that was born the idea of getting people like me in interest, who aren't interested in sports or football at all. How could we get them more interested in these kinds of games? And the first idea that I had was altering uniforms.
Okay.
So picture this. You've got two teams running around a football pitch. Obviously, one of the most important rules, apart from the offside rule, which you need salt and pepper to explain, so I can't go into that,
It's quite visual.
The handball rule.
Okay, yeah. Not allowed.
Not okay, unless you're a goalie.
Fair point.
Just wanted to make that
clear. No, it's good to clarify.
So what if they redesigned the uniform so that they didn't have any sleeves? So then they've got their handstand aside. I mean, they'd have to make them quite long. I mean, yeah, maybe even down to the knee.
It's a body sock, effectively,
even,
at this point. Yeah.
Even more hilarious, because they wouldn't be able to run properly. And then you'd have all these fully grown men, like, you can imagine, like, penguin running up and down the pitch.
I mean, it could be very helpful for their game, because obviously it removes the temptation, even. They don't have the option.
You would basically do away with referee, number one, because you wouldn't have any handball rules. There'd be no red cards, and offside would be the king.
I feel like the referees out there might be slightly chagrined to think that the entirety of their job is to stop handballs happening. But it's possible that is... I mean, I don't actually know what else they do. So none of us in the room are capable of qualified to...
We're not going to be able to argue this.
So they blow a whistle quite a lot. So you could then attach a whistle to the players' jerseys.
Oh, so when they
see
something they don't like, they whistle.
But...
Self-policing. Anarchy in football.
This is getting better. I'm just seeing it in my head. Yeah. The whistle's hanging on a string that they can't get to because their hands are inside their uniform. So in order to get the whistle and self-govern, they'd have to do this really awkward, like, I'm doing the action right now for Pod World. Yeah. You'd have to do this really awkward thing where they'd be trying to like bend down and scoop up.
Oh. Well, it's like the whistle that's on the... you have the whistle that's on the inflatable life vesty thing.
Life jacket.
The one that's pointing up towards your mouth, so you don't have to access your hands.
So, you know, imagine that head action with the arm action and the running with the very restrict. Yeah.
I mean, I see...
Would you watch that?
I would obviously watch that. I feel like there'd
definitely
be a lot of falling over. I think that is the first thing that would happen a lot more.
Would they get up?
And there would be less getting up. They're very, very fit people. They can get up without their arms.
They could spring
at the end of the day. They can. Yeah. They could just do one of those little kung fu flip up jobbies or something like that, or just like a quick roll and a tumble. But I think the more falling over, as long as it's equal across all the players, which in this case it is. No harm done, is it? Because I mean, if everyone's equally handicapped, then no one's handicapped, are they?
Exactly.
So it's not actually causing anyone any real damage in that regard. Mm. So that's fine. And also, like, what you're doing here, obviously, is you're potentially finding an invention which can be monetized by football clubs, who are obviously very, very money rich, as the phrase goes. they are money rich. I've heard, and time poor. No, they're probably time rich as well.
Yeah.
Sarah, any thoughts on this?
I'm enjoying the visuals, really, which is not a great thing for radio. But just
a person enjoying visuals in their own head.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not really good for any form of entertainment. I think even a TV show would a TV show where it's just a shot of somebody quietly enjoying themselves in their own mind.
I would quite happily devise a mock-up of this uniform and just put on like a, you know, the tester game.
Yeah.
And be involved in that test. I mean, I would never play football in any other circumstance, but for this particular, you know, to try out this particular idea and just see how it would work, I would volunteer myself.
Is the goalie allowed to have arms?
They're all allowed to have arms.
That's a more harsh rule.
Wow.
Well, you know,
this is now taking this to a level.
Well, it's a first step. We're gradually working towards the final solution, which is to just remove the arms of football players. Because look, at the end of the day, that would be a lot. You wouldn't have to even wear costumes.
Well, if they
then.
Can prove they don't need them to play football.
Instantly, did we say the phrase costumes at the beginning of this? I think we did, didn't we?
No, Tess said uniform.
Uniform. That's, I think, also not the phrase, is it? What's the phrase they
I'm
actually
use? I'm not sure.
Strip.
No, I wondered. I thought uniform might not be right.
There we go. Oh. I said costume. I went further away from the truth. It's proof there's no alpha males in this room.
Yeah. Strip's quite a weird word, isn't it? To talk about clothes.
Well, it's the removal of clothes. I see your point, yes. Mm. So the football strip should be the thing that happens after the game, in the showers.
It would make the...
That is what happens, so...
when they get the goal, when they do the good one, and then they put their arms up over their heads and the jersey up like that, that would make that easier. Seamless.
Oh, I see. So you're going to still allow them a two-piece uniform then? So the arms are just trapped inside. I was assuming it'd be a single piece all the way from the top to the bottom, because then it's even easier. Then it's like they really can't get those arms out of there because there's no...
Oh, wow. They couldn't... Like a giant baby grow.
Exactly. I mean, if you consider that, if you consider it's now a bookable offence to take your shirt off in celebration, that is now a yellow card. I do know some things. How do I know that?
How do you know that?
I do know that somehow.
What have you been doing with your time?
They're not allowed to.
No, you're not allowed to anymore. You're not allowed to be excited in this game, which is why I think controlling people's arm positions is also kind of in keeping with the modern football game, which is about no fun. This is serious. Don't you take off that shirt, otherwise you are going to sit down, young boy.
Oh, I think in that case, I don't think my idea is going to get taken
I don't think this is a very serious situation. Although it would be even more entertaining if they were taking it very seriously.
No, of course, this is
I'd like to see them all with a very, serious
attitude. We're applying this to the Premiership.
This.
We're not going for some kind of like novelty league. This is for real football players. I want to see...
Good. So long as no one's having fun. Yeah.
I'm glad you came in there, Sarah. Because I was trying desperately to find a football player and realising that I didn't know anyone who probably still plays football. So...
Oh, I bet you can name someone. You know about bookable offences.
Cesc Fabregas. That's a name.
Wow.
I don't know what he does. He kicks a ball. No, I think Cesc Fabregas in a one piece, unable to lift his arms up, unable to engage in that regard. Like I say, more falling over, also very attractive to the non-football fan.
Very hilarious.
I mean, are you interested potentially in like what could be on these kits? Are you allowing them to keep their kit or as it was, or do you want to maybe jazz that up a little bit too? Because there's an opportunity there if you're already giving them a new one.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Mm. You know what's that? He's good at saying, what's that called, that thing over there, that picture? There's a name for that style of picture where it moves.
Hologram?
I always want to call it a hologram. I don't think I think it's got another word.
Lenticular.
Lenticular.
Oh. Where the image changes as you move around it. I think if we could have lenticular one-piece armless outfits for football
players.
What,
with like lions on that are roaring?
Wow.
As you see them.
Or just like, you know, so like maybe like if just a very particular angle, it looks like they're naked. Like just like there's one angle, and if you just catch them right, then it's like, and they're like, and you're like, oh, did I see that? And you'd be pausing, and you'd be getting, it's a whole new game.
But yeah, you'd have to capture them.
Oh, it'd be very precise. Yeah. It'd be a once in a lifetime thing. But you would, I mean, obviously, because the kit would also be accurate to the inside of the kit. So it'd be like, well, I did get to see Cesc Fabregas naked that day. That was a good day for me. He's probably very attractive, probably.
You're saying that they would get sponsored?
I mean,
sponsoring opportunities. It could be people's faces, couldn't it?
Okay.
Oh, I'm thinking it's just literally what they look like underneath the kit. It's like it's fully nude for a second. I mean, but equally, you're right. You could get multiple sponsorships with Lenticular, couldn't you?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah. It's all about the money.
That's a very good point. Actually, yeah. One angle it's Adidas, another angle it's Nike. Yeah. You sit the Nike people at one position and Adidas another, and they're like, "Oh, we just got with you."
And everyone's like, "We're very happy with this.
We want exclusively with you.
We're very happy with this situation." So I think you've got a second idea for us, Tess.
I do.
That's a relief, Jesus Christ. We thought you did, but we didn't. We didn't unconfirm beforehand, so it's good that you do.
I'm going to just throw it out there that was probably like we've started at the top of the hill and then we're working our way down.
So. Well, but what people say it's all downhill from here, then I never understand that because it's like, well,
that's easier.
Good. Yeah, good. I mean, like, it's all uphill from here.
An uphill struggle.
Exactly.
No one likes that.
It's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, downhill. Everyone likes going downhill.
So basically what I'm saying is great.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hooray.
So I'm staying with the sporting theme. So again, how to make things like the Olympics, etc., more interesting for non-sporting people.
Yes.
And one that that I've been developing gradually over time was how to make athletics more enticing. Athletics is one of those sports where I've just always really struggled with, like, hey, how did it come about? Mm-hmm. How was anyone like, how far can you jump? Well, I can jump this far. Well, I can jump this far. Well, how high can you jump? Like, I can jump really high. I think
that's probably how it came about, yeah.
But then how did it go on for thousands of years? Like, surely that's just like...
Some people are competitive.
Very basic.
You do make a very good point that it actually...
I'd never quite realised the level to which the Olympics is basically just like boasting children, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit. Yeah, exactly. In the schoolyard, that's where it starts.
I can jump the
weirdest
biggest.
One is a hop, skip and a jump.
Yeah.
That is literally...
Also quite fun to watch.
If you call it triple jump, it sounds like
silly.
A thing. If you call it hop, skip and a jump, it does sound much sillier.
Exactly. Oh, yeah,
but
sorry.
It is, no.
Thinking
but,
about the children
no,
again.
No.
God, I spend too much time
but it
with
is
children.
That. It is
that. That is what it is, yeah.
It is a hop, a skip and a jump. It's called the triple, but it's not. It's a hop, a skip and a jump. Which somehow undermines the seriousness a little bit. I mean, we said this the other day, like, how do you decide that balancing on a beam is worthy of judgment?
Exactly.
That you have people. There are people whose job it is to decide if you balance on a beam well.
Yeah, which is even weirder than the people who just balance on a beam well.
The secondary industry is all the more confusing.
Yeah.
And then we're watching it. We're the third industry, and we're even the stranger one.
But there's also there's a list somewhere of what makes good balancing and not good balancing on
and
a
the
beam
best balancers
or hop, skippy, jumping.
You're the best balancer ever.
Who thought they would grow up to do that?
When I grow up, I'm going to be a balancer.
Oh, I mean, granted, you draw pictures of rabbits and stuff, so I make podcasts. I'm just saying.
A lot of people probably do, though. When you ask a child what they're going to do when they grow up, I'm going to be really good at jumping.
That's a fair point.
Something that they would say,
that's
but
yeah.
At some point, most people go, oh, actually, jumping was cool when I was 5, but...
Well, there's
things
not as much money in it as I thought there was. I thought people would give me money for bouncing. But it turns out...
There's no jobs in Totnes for jumpers, apparently. I'll have to do something else.
You have to go to the city if you want to be a jumper, frankly.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
you got to go where the money is, and that's in the big city. When it comes to balancing, jumping, any kind of like fast rowing, if you want to be doing something where you like sort of throw a ball quite a long way,
you've
got to go to the city.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It's just the truth.
We've got to be a sports
podcast. Should we do a sports podcast?
That's what it's become, isn't
it? That's our new thing, sports podcast.
I could sell myself as a sports commentator. Everything you want to know about football.
Well, you know, when we have the people in the studio, right? And then they go live over to the persons at the side of the court.
Yeah.
Say that, I'll do.
Yeah.
You could be our correspondent.
And they are hitting the ball. It's just gone back over the other side. And she made a really funny noise when she hit that ball. And I could see right up her skirt. So that was brilliant.
She did it as well. She did. Amazing.
She's got red knickers on. Yeah. And blue socks, which I don't think is a winning combo. Just saying.
But really, we have distracted you massively. What's your idea?
Yeah, so my idea. There is an idea in there somewhere. Yeah. So athletics, making it a bit more interesting. Introducing animal athletics.
Okay. Yes.
So there's some different...
I'm in.
Yes. One is like an inspired by like horse racing.
Right.
Where you wouldn't necessarily have horses, you would have other types of animals.
Mm-hmm.
So emus... versus, oh, you'd have to consider slightly, the gait, and there would have to be some kind of calculation of suitability and different categories of animals.
Yeah.
But you'd definitely have a mixture of species as well. So you'd have like elephants versus...
There is a market in this.
Rhinos.
No, people freaking love the whole thing versus thing. It's usually very violent. If we could sort of take that quite horrible market of gorilla versus... monkey, that's a bad one. Mm. I'm also struggling here. Shark versus gorilla, there we go. I would watch that. I want to see
But
the
then
context.
You would have jockeys on them as well, riding them
okay.
to throw that extra element in. So it would still be the same as horse racing,
right.
but with different animals. And then we thought maybe...
You probably do need... I was thinking like if you could remove the jockeys, there'd be a nice element there. But to be fair, without the jockey, I'm not sure the animal would be inclined to race the other animal.
No.
They probably need that incentivizing thing, don't they?
Yeah, and they need training and they need... You know, there's a reason for those jockeys. So let's not undermine the role of the jockey.
It does limit your racing animals to animals that can carry a jockey, unless you find very small jockeys.
Unless you can invent very interesting saddles. And we're also ways to
That's
that
true.
Animal to carry said jockey.
Well, I want to see, like, cat versus snail. You know, I want to see,
Yeah.
I mean, that's again, a bad example.
I think we can tell who would win.
Hey, have you heard about the turtle and the hare?
I suppose it depends
Settle down,
what they
let
were
me tell
doing.
You a story.
Anyway, if they were balancing, I mean, maybe the snail would win.
Anyway,
I don't know.
This is it.
It's true.
This
could
it. The snail did very badly in the 200 metres, but really came into its own on the beam.
Yeah, exactly. So, we're throwing animals into all sorts of Olympic sports now. I was just going with athletics.
Karen.
So one of the ideas was to have, like, predators and prey. So you would have to have different release times. So you'd let the prey go. So it was, again, now going to dog racing. So an element of that coming into it. So you'd let the prey go a little bit before, but the jockey's on the prey. And then you'd have the jockey on the predator
right.
release a little bit after. And then, you know, but it's just a race to the finish line. So we don't actually want to let them catch up. And,
well,
but then if they do catch up, then... Yeah.
It definitely has the potential to become horrific.
It does, yeah. It's but also, then who would you place your bet on, the predator or the prey?
The higher the stakes, the more important the bet. And also, like, it definitely incentivizes that prey jockey to really do their best, you know, because if they're going to end up in the middle of the situation, they don't want it, basically. So, yeah, they're going to try hard.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. They're going to be trying twice as hard. Mm. I mean, you've seen the nature programs where, you know, actually it's the cute little buffalo and you don't want him to get the buffalo, but he has to because that's how nature works. And it's, you know, that constant you know, you're in that turmoil even as a viewer. So you bring that to the Olympic sports, you've got like huge emotions going on there.
So do you think we could get some kind of, do you reckon we could get like Attenborough involved, because he seems to have that kind of market there? Do you think he'd approve?
I'm sure he'd be
forced competitions between wild animals? I don't know if he wouldn't.
Yeah. That's the only downside, isn't it?
He might be fine with it, because he might be like, look, this is teaching people about the truth, you know, the truth of wild animals, they're wild.
You can't predict him, can you?
That's it. You
never know what he's going to come out with.
That's it. Like, I was talking the other day, and I was like, hey, David, you know that The Wire, you know, that great show on HBO, is that the best show I've ever seen? And he was like, nah, I didn't really like it, didn't get into it.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming for shit, but he was true, he said that.
Just never know with him.
He's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think there's one aspect I would like to go into with this is, so like I say, is this a once every 4 years Olympic event, or is this in the same vein? Is this like a football situation where it's like you have an ongoing competition, it's ongoing leagues, like there are players switching teams, you know what I mean, like representing different people at different times?
I think it'd be, well, because like horse racing happens every year, dog racing happens every weekend.
Mm.
So there would be ongoing, you know, competitions, like spaces for.
So, but like then I suppose you'd have to be young players to come up into the game, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would work in a similar way. And then every 4 years, the creme de la creme would come together for the Olympic. Also, the other thing, tying it again into the track events, would be when they. Is it the hop? The hop, skip and jump. They have to jump over water.
There is a thing.
Pole vault over a piranha-infested lake pond.
Are the piranhas the ones who are competing in this situation? Is it the guy pole vaulting? I'm confused who I'm rooting for.
Well, it's not a guy pole vaulting. It'd be silly. There's an animal.
Oh, so it's like a giraffe pole vaulting over it.
Again, Sarah, you're being,
I hadn't envisaged the animal pole
again, you're being Sarah, you're being very silly, so I'm thinking it's probably more like a monkey using a giraffe to pole vault.
Oh, I see.
Over
I
the piranhas.
See. Yes, much more sensible.
Get it clear.
I'm so glad I brought these ideas to you, because you've really helped me to refine them.
Any thoughts, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be boring.
Well, don't be then.
But
you have the choice.
Obviously, I do have a few animal rights concerns.
But you started off saying you're already into it.
Yes, because the idea of... Because clearly, add animals into any situation, you're going to get my support initially.
Any situation?
Not like an edible situation. Unless you're like having dinner with an animal. I'd be all right with that. It's like first dates, but like with an animal.
Animals,
yeah.
People and animals, or animals and animals?
That would get my full support. Ooh, I reckon there's room for both.
Okay, fair enough.
In the world.
There's a lot of channels nowadays.
Exactly. I'm sure there's an audience for both of those shows. I mean, me, obviously. No, but the willingness of the animals to take part, where they're living when they're not competing, what kind of situation they're living in, what they do when they retire, because we all know athletes have a short, intense life.
Well, then it wouldn't be that much out of their animal life. Release them back into the wild.
Do you think they'd be able to cope with being back in the wild? I was sort of thinking like a retirement village or...
Like an Olympic village.
An Olympic village. Yeah.
That you could then go and visit.
Yeah.
What do they call that? Exactly. Legacy. I've seen that 2012 program. They talk about a lot about legacy.
The legacy is we've now got a lot of slightly damaged celebrity animals wandering around like they own the place. Missing that little brief glimpse of glory they had.
Yeah.
You got the monkey complaining to his monkey friend, being like, oh, I used to be on TV. Don't let me on it anymore.
Or like complaining about the doping. The doping accusation that wasn't true. You just ate too many bananas that day.
Exactly. I had high potassium for the obvious reasons. I'm a monkey. Come on.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I just need to say that the animal version of first dates will be called first mates, and it'd be the first time that two animals had sex. And now we need to move on to the third idea, I think.
No, that wouldn't be nearly as charming.
Spare ideas. If you got them, then we'll have them. Spare ideas. We'll take them apart and put them back together again.
So idea number three, Tess, you've got a third idea.
I do. I assume. Good. Well, I've got a prop as well that goes with this one.
Wowzers.
Yeah, so here is, should I shake it and see if the listeners can guess what it might be?
That's not a bad idea, actually, yes. Let's play audio charades.
Just drop it.
Yeah.
Okay, so here you go. What might this be?
One word. It's a game.
Two syllables.
How do you mime the first one?
What good is miming right now? That's what I'm not sure about.
Shall
not
I just talk about it? I mean, we can all see it, so...
No, it doesn't matter. Audio mime, I was thinking.
Yeah.
Squaw!
Okay, so maybe that didn't work out as well as I thought it might. Okay, so the third idea is, this is an invention that I have to give credit to a friend of mine, Caroline, who we one night on a Sunday over in a very similar situation over a glass of red wine invented this game in a pub, and it's a very well-known game with our own adaptation. Right. And we like to call it Weekend Scrabble.
Weekend Scrabble.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are a few rules to Weekend Scrabble. One of them being that it's Weekend Scrabble, and it's only eligible for playing from Friday to Sunday night.
Right.
And then after that, any other day of the week, forget it.
Okay.
And we take that quite seriously. There has been times when you've been on holiday, like on a rainy week holiday, it's somewhere like Devon maybe. Mm. Where, you know, it's like Tuesday, it's raining, can't go out, play Scrabble. No, can't play Weekend Scrabble because it's Tuesday. I now no longer play any other version of Scrabble, so that's kind of like ended my Scrabble career other than Weekend Scrabble. So
well,
that's
I'm curious. The thing is, we're recording on a Saturday, so
yeah,
fortunately,
exactly.
Fortunately,
yeah,
we're able to
engage
in this.
So if you're up for it, then we could have a go at playing
however,
around.
If you are listening at home, ladies and gentlemen, which I'm assuming you are, it might be out and about, wherever you're listening.
It might not be a weekend for them.
So if you, the best thing is to put put it to one side, just press the pause button, that's what it's there for.
Come back to it.
Exactly. We're not going anywhere.
No.
In fact, we'll wait for you. Just wait.
Yep.
Oh.
Are we still waiting?
How was your week? Really? Oh, that's terrible.
All great.
Anyway, that's enough of you. Seriously, we're trying to do a podcast. So how does this game work?
So basically, the rules of Weekend Scrabble are far more flexible than normal Scrabble in that the whole idea is to kind of where you can invent words, but the rule about the invention of words is that they have to have a very plausible explanation,
right,
which is then voted on by the other players.
I see.
So you might send out, for example, I'll give you one that my mum came up with once. It sticks in my mind. It was toot suey. And her explanation for toot suey was the gastric sensation that you might experience after eating some very slightly dodgy Chinese food.
Okay.
What's the suey dish that they have? What is it called?
Chop suey.
Chop suey. Yeah,
chop
exactly.
Suey.
So,
right.
So that's an example.
That's fair.
And so the players, obviously, the temptation is that you would just be like, well, that's ridiculous because you're going to say, no, that doesn't work. No, that doesn't work. Just so that you don't have to let other people have points. But if you do that to them, then they're going to do it to you.
What goes around comes around.
It's not going to be a game at all. There's no point in you even getting it out. So
I can see
you have to have a bit of flexibility.
The thing you laid the groundwork for earlier, where you were talking about your sort of lack of competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely a game for that, I think. I think it's fair to say this is, again, we're doing a lot of good for people out there.
Collaborative.
Exactly. It's for the people of the world who don't feel the need to do each other down, but to help each other out.
Yeah, that is true. Mm. I mean, mostly it was born of the nature of, despite the fact of me and my friend both being primary school teachers, neither one of us been having a very good vocabulary or being very good at spelling.
To be fair, hanging out with children, not the best for encouraging vocabulary. They're quite limited most of the time.
Their favourite way of spelling the word can't is with a U.
Yeah.
And I think it works.
Oh, you could get away with so much, couldn't you? You could teach children anything. You could just teach them something, because they're not going to... Surely they're going to trust the teacher over the child. If they're like, well, teacher taught us that, you'd be like, no, come on, don't tell lies. Don't tell... Of course teacher didn't teach you that. Don't be silly.
We didn't teach it to them. We just didn't bother to correct it. Just let them go on believing that that's the correct spelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you up for playing a round of Weekend Scrabble?
Of course I am, yeah, yes.
Cool. I mean, the other thing about Weekend Scrabble is that the rules themselves are reasonably flexible. Like, if you were all sitting around and you were like, oh, I've just tried to do this play and one person disagreed, but actually the other people playing the game were in favour, it opens up to a vote, you know, so yeah. you can overrule.
No, it's democratic Scrabble.
Yeah.
There you go. It teaches a lot of lessons, this. Yeah. I feel like this would go down well in Steiner schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's not argue about it. Let's have a discussion.
Because really, what are words? Are they not just things that people say to say things? And in this case, you're saying that. So, you know, fair enough.
Let's hug it out.
I haven't had a hugging rule in Weekend Scrabble before, but, you know, if that's what the room is feeling, then that's what we'll do.
Well, if you come down to the point where someone is blocking you hard all game, I mean, you're going to get a little bit, there's going to be like a, you know,
yeah,
even exactly. If it's a collaborative game, you might end up with like, well, it fucking blocks me, that one, you know, and then you're going to start blocking them back. And yeah, there's going to be a situation where I might need to hug it. That's what I'm just saying.
Well, it generally doesn't, because people very quickly realise that the word that you're going to try and get away with is going to be equally as ridiculous, if not more so ridiculous, than the one that you poo-pooed earlier. So
one question I do have.
Yeah.
Are existing words allowed in Weekend Scrabble?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, anything goes. Or another cool thing that I really like is that all of the double, triple word, whatever scores count every single time.
Oh, that's nice.
Not just the first time you put the word down.
Ooh, can we extend that even further? Uh-huh. Can we make every single one of the coloured squares into a triple word score? 2,500 versus 4,065.
You are really pushing it. How
I
about this?
It's sort of the same at that point.
It just means that you just get more points. Numbers. Everyone just gets more points.
Just bigger numbers.
For the simplicity of my also very limited primary school maths brain, can we not? Because I don't want to be timesing everything by three.
Fine. I know, there's got to be some
boundaries. Two times tables are way much easier.
There's got to be some boundaries. It's fine.
You can also go backwards. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go, you know, you're not limited to the direction. You can go around corners. And if you need to...
You can go
to...
around corners.
Yeah.
I'm starting to lose my faith in this game.
And if you need to, you can go off the board, although there's no points for off the board scores that because...
Oh, that's fairly interesting, actually, yeah. To make the word work for the gratification of the word, purely for the gratification of the word. I like that.
You don't get points for any letters that are placed off the board.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, okay. I mean, that is very fair in the sense that, well, yes, of course you should, for Christ's sake. There has to be some boundaries, and those are literal boundaries.
Exactly. Otherwise, you haven't really got a game.
Well, it's just anarchy.
What I found is that either people really love this game or it makes their mind explode and they can't understand it and they can't understand why anyone want to play it.
Well, if you were good at Scrabble and you'd spent a lot of time getting good at Scrabble, which is basically, as was pointed out by the great John Hodgman, he pointed out that Scrabble is not a game of vocabulary. Scrabble is a game of Scrabble. Scrabble is the game where you learn words that are relevant to Scrabble and learn how to position words to maximise your score.
I've got an interesting selection of letters here.
That's good. Always a good start for Weekend Scrabble.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the point, isn't it? I know that I've played Scrabble with you a few times, Sarah, and you often give me that look, that little facial expression that's saying, oh, it's all just vowels and I don't know what to do with it. But of course, you're in clear water now. Like, the waters have been cleared.
Well, yeah.
There's no bad letters.
Well, should I start?
I think,
luckily enough as well, as I pulled the tiles out and placed them on, a word just came to me. So it's like it was meant to be. So here's my first go. Well, I feel a bit nervous now. Right, so my word starts with a P, and then I've got an I, and then an E. So that's a legitimate word, right?
That's definitely pie.
Yeah, pie.
I've seen that before.
Not finished yet.
Yeah.
My word is...
Yeah.
Pie me? Yeah, like you're at the bakery. The guy's like, what do you want, love? You're like, pie me. Mate, pie me up. Love pie, please.
Yeah, I mean, again, that is completely justifiable. In fact, you've used two existing words to make a compound word, which is, again, that's how language works. Exactly. Chill out, guys. Come on.
So for me, that would be, let's see, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then I've got a double letter, so 10. That's a 10-pointer right there.
Yeah, that's actually pretty. Yeah, that's pretty.
So
solid.
That's not a bad start.
And I believe that you get the double thing for being on the diamonds.
Do I?
That's the thing I heard once when I was a child, and I took it to heart. And I'm thinking this game needs more points, based on what I'm
saying.
every game needs more points. Well, I think I'm ready to go, so I'm going to jump in here. You know that sensation where someone's just thrown a tree at you, and you need to tell someone that. You need to be like, if you go to the police station, you're obviously quite distressed and you're like, you need to explain what has happened.
A tree, right? Yeah. Okay.
Any size. I mean, obviously big enough for it to be bothersome. A baby tree, no one, you wouldn't even notice. It'd be slightly like rude.
Broccoli.
It'd be rude, yeah, exactly. It'd be rude, but it wouldn't be offensive in any kind of real way. But, you know, a proper tree. You need to quickly explain what happened so you can get out there and catch that person. So that's why we have this useful word here, which also fortunately lands me on two triple let scores.
You've been treed.
You've been treed, yes, exactly.
Absolutely. You've been treed, mate. You know, that's what they might say.
That's
it. The perpetrators might say, you, mate, you have been treed.
That's it. It'd be a YouTube phenomenon. You'd have people like doing tree videos with where they treed people.
Yeah. Absolutely. What's your points?
Well, of course, thanks to those triples, I got 12.
Boom.
It's not like I say, it's no pie me, but you know, in this situation, I'm fine with it. 12's good for this situation.
I mean, I think I'm going to have to build on pie me to do presumably the past tense.
Oh, of course.
Pie me. When you've been pie met. I can only assume that's what happens.
Would it not be pie med?
No, you've been pie met. You've been met by the pie.
Oh, met by the pie. Yeah. Ah, yes. Yeah. Now I understand, that is clear.
You requested a pie by saying pie me.
Pie me.
They brought out a pie.
Well, I've been thoroughly pie met, is what you might say afterwards.
Better than being treed. Let's be fair.
Yeah, I think so.
Given
softer,
a choice.
Less lethal.
Yeah. More pastry.
Yes.
Pastry based. And more satisfying. More satisfying in many
ways.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I don't know. It's horses for courses. Someone out there would like to be treed. Let's not throw shade towards people who enjoy a good treeing.
No.
Because they're just people too.
It's true. Or who perpetrators of treeing. Because there might be people out there who go and looking for that kind of engagement. Hmm.
If we could just put together the people who want to be treed and the people who want to, in the same way we put together the pie makers and the pie wanters and to organise a good pie met. Which I'm assuming is kind of like a meet cute. It's like the meet cute for the pie industry.
Well, that was a pretty fine trio of ideas, I think.
It was a skip and a jump of spare ideas. I think to be fair, as we always try and like, you know, just put a little bit of reality into the equation. I think there is, I think it's hard possibly to rebrand Scrabble, but I think the idea will go out there, not commercially, but just as an idea. I think.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's the beauty of it. You don't need anything different to a normal Scrabble board.
Yes.
You've got it all.
Making
there.
It financially a terrible idea, but but as a gift to the world,
not for the consumer.
Sublime.
Yeah.
Exactly. Financially great for the consumer.
All you've done basically is just sort of do a value add to their existing product.
Yeah. That's what all of my ideas have been.
This is true.
You know, taking things that I'm not into and finding a way to possibly be interested in them.
There we go, exactly.
So, yeah.
I can't remember, I'll put it in the show notes. So look into the show notes at the bottom of, in fact, your podcast description. There'll be a really good little quote I'll put in there and it'll become so evident what I was about to say.
Thank goodness for the show notes.
Thank goodness for the show notes.
What did podcasters do before show notes?
I think they were always there. So, I mean, it's quite a new medium. It's not really, you can't look that far back in time when it comes to podcasts. So
no.
Things haven't changed that much.
No, still.
I mean, right now podcasts, they're in their infancy. We're very much at the cutting edge. We're like that guy filming a train coming out of a tunnel. Or going into a tunnel, one of the two. So one day, this podcast will look like Stone Age to our kids, you know.
This could like be in an exam one day when kids are learning about the history of...
So that's where Weekend Scrabble
ideas.
Started.
Yeah.
That's why we have the Animal Olympics. I've always wondered.
The very first recorded instance of anybody mentioning Weekend Scrabble. Or just the word like pie me. Pie met. Like... The first use.
Yeah, the OED will find this podcast very useful.
Yeah, exactly.
Or treeing being like a YouTube phenomenon. Yeah.
Just incidentally, we do not condone treeing in any form. Please don't tree yourself, other people. If you want to be treed by someone else, just do it in a safe environment.
Have a safe word.
Exactly.
Yeah, consent. Consent is the key.
Exactly. Make sure that tree is of a safe... That, you know, just don't go straight to the big tree. Work your way up gradually. Start with smaller trees.
I don't know, the smaller ones might hurt more, no?
Well, they would definitely hurt. I mean, I'm kind of like a whipping motion. I'm thinking just like a sort of like, chucked at you, like an underarm chuck. Start underarm and then work your way towards overarm, you know. You know, and and also for the treeing people, don't try and throw a tree that's too big for you, because you will pull a muscle, and it could be worse. Exactly, stretch first. Start with trees that you feel comfortable with. Work your way up. Again, it's all about processing it. This has been one of the stranger episodes of Spare Ideas, and I think it's probably down to my tiredness. I apologise for that. But I guess all that remains to be said is a bunch of lovely spiel regarding the podcast network. Sarah, do you want to say that for us?
Oh, is that the bit where we say that if you enjoyed this podcast, it would be really helpful if you would subscribe on whichever platform it is you get your podcasts from?
Yeah, any good podcast platform.
iTunes. What are the other ones? There's some other ones. Acast. That's one of them, isn't it?
Probably.
Is it on there? I don't know.
Reddit?
That's what the people say. No.
Twitter?
I don't think those are the ones.
Tinder?
No.
They're getting into podcasts now, right? Everyone's getting into podcasts
probably.
Now.
Spotify, they do it, don't they?
Spotify do it. So, I mean, it's only a matter of time.
Exactly. Whichever one you're listening to this through, though, if you could subscribe and maybe leave us a little review.
Yeah.
That'd be really helpful.
Purely 5-star ones. If you have any one-star reviews, please send it to our former co-host and probably future co-host, Rowan, which is his email address. I'm not going to say it, but he's actually said it. He said it numerous times in previous episodes. So just, you know, go looking.
Yeah, if you're like hate listening to this or something, just keep it to yourself. Just write it on a letter and burn it or something.
Do you say hate listening?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing people do, isn't it?
That thing.
Yeah, you know, when people, it's like people reading the Daily Mail.
Right.
You know, people who like to get angry about things, but then, you know, listen or watch or read things that wind them up.
Right, they're listening to this to get outraged.
Yeah. Right. You know, if there are people out there that find us really annoying, but they kind of get enjoyment from listening to us and getting annoyed.
I'll take
annoyed.
Any listeners. I don't mind. Anyway, we also do other shows on the network, so go and check those out. Good network. That's what we're called. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on the show, Tess.
And thank you for having me.
Your spare ideas. They were good spare ideas.
Oh, good.
That's all the judging we do.
Great. Yes. It's not just like the crazy things going on in my mind that everyone else is going to judge me for.
I mean, they were that, but that makes them good spare ideas.
Cool.
Because that's basically our frame of reference, is like, is this just something insane that a person has thought up? Yes. Okay.
But that's how they all start. I knew I was a genius. I know it.
I mean, at the end of the day, they can all really exist.
Weekend Scrabble is happening.
It's happening now.
It's right in front
I'm
of
ready
this.
For a full glass and to finish the game. Let's go.
All right. Well, yes. Anyway, thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for more Spare Ideas.
Oh dear, let's planned. Not do that again.
That was a very good podcast from verygood.org.uk.